Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside of Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans and their disappointing loss to the Bengals in the divisional round. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text line all show long. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Our buddy Tyler from Berry Hill texting in says, "This week will be a tough pill to swallow. It's frustrating to have to admit we were wrong about Tannehill. I stood there and defended the guy and trusted in him, and he let down an entire fan base. I'm not sure what happened to him between the previous two seasons and this year, but he became a guy that can't read defenses and presses, causing him to throw passes you can't try to complete. Unfortunately, we're stuck with him, and we aren't ever going anywhere with that kind of quarterback play. The Titans have completely lost any belief I finally decided to bestow upon them, and I don't see them ever being the same again." This is coming from Tyler from Berry Hill on the text line.
Wow, that was a downer.
No, it was.
good thought. I think Tyler speaks for a lot of people. I'm trying to think. Is there anything comparable? Well, look. When we were ranking quarterbacks, right? We were ranking. We put Tannehill seventh, right? We put Jimmy G eighth.
Which, by the way, there's a lot of talk about Jimmy G today. He went 11 of 19 for 131 yards and an interception on Saturday. Let's calm down on the Jimmy G
stuff. The interception was absolutely – I was like, oh, okay, they're done.
Well, by the way, he tried to throw about three more.
Right. Now, he was awful, but they found a way to win.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, the realistic – again, we're going to talk about the future a lot this week, and we can talk about every possible trade you could make. But the realistic future path is, can you build a team around him – that's good enough. Also, can he at least get to the point of game manager who doesn't give game to other team guy? And I know that there's no comfort in that for Titans fans today. I'm just saying that's probably what you're going to be looking at, which means that a lot of you are going to look at it like, was it Dave, our caller earlier?
Yep.
Like, you know, all right, well, you know, you got a matinee at 2 or the Titans game. I mean, it's tough because I think a lot – look, I can only speak for myself that game changed my view of him, okay? I bet you a lot of people are the same way. Now, some people were out on him and all that stuff, and there's a whole range of
– oh, it changed mine for sure.
But it changed it, and I suspect it probably changed it for a lot of people. And I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough spot to be in.
Those are the moments.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the moments, and I agree to, with the assessment. Like, it's just the weird, like, staring down, and again, he had good protection.
He did.
On Saturday. That's the thing. Like, it wasn't a protection thing where the clock has to be sped up on him. It wasn't. I mean, it was there, and I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Adam in Portland texting in says, "We were beat 3 seconds into the game. That stadium was electric, but our quarterback gave us no chance to win. Whose fault is it? I don't know, and I don't care. That was a championship defense wasted. It's the most painful loss in 23 years." This is coming from Adam from Portland on the text line. I said it earlier. I think this is the second most screwed up opportunity in the history of the Titans, beyond 2000. And honestly, I know we're all prisoner of the moment right now. I would say it's probably the second most painful as well. Like, it's hard to top that 2000 year. Yeah. You'd just gone to the Super Bowl. You were the most dominant team in the league all season long.
No one questioned you being the one seed then.
Yeah, and the Ravens came in and they beat you. They go on to win the Super Bowl, and hindsight being what it is, like, Titans win that Ravens game, they're winning the Super Bowl that year. So it's hard to top that one. I'd probably put this one at number two, though. Like, this is, to me, this is right behind that one on the list of all-time Titan screw-ups or most heartbreaking losses, whatever list you want to call it. I'd put this one at number two.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's prisoner of the moment. I think that's what it is.
Hard to argue. I mean, look, I know some people will disagree with this. I think, maybe not, but I think this team had a higher ceiling and more upside to continue winning than the 08 team.
I agree.
You know, look, so there's where I disagree with Dave earlier, like, well, let's all be honest, there was no chance with Kansas City coming in. I don't necessarily agree with that. It would have been tough. This is not the same Chiefs team that came in here and lost 27-3.
Those two quarterbacks played the way they played last night. It would have been tough. But it would have been your tough. Defense, I mean, that's the thing. Your defense on Saturday was good.
Well, I mean, and this is where, although Ed Oliver was a monster last night, I mean, the Titans have the best pass rush in the league. I mean, they do. They have the Rams are awfully, with Von Miller now in there and Floyd, and they just, I mean, it's close. But I think the Titans are as dangerous and diverse a pass rush as there is in the NFL right now, and that was your path to winning the next game too. But only if you play well on offense, play well at quarterback. If they would have survived this, Tannehill would have led them for a field goal drive. What would we be talking about? We'd be talking about that game, but what would we be talking about with Tannehill?
All the interceptions.
But at least, like, okay, but in the end, he found a way. And again, there's all this stuff on Jimmy G now. Jimmy G, the heart of a champion. Like, they won despite him.
Yeah.
I think the Titans could have had a chance against the Chiefs, but it would have taken a massive turnaround from Tannehill, to make it possible. Maybe there's no way. I know right now people can laugh at that idea, but you're a few completions and a non-third interception away from – an opportunity. And again, that's why it's such a squandered thing, because you just aren't going to have many better chances than this. You may not have a chance like this in a long time.
Well, and to that point, I mean, Steve from the Borough texting in says, all I have to say is 9 sacks and we lost. Straight dog water. That's coming from Steve on the text line. Like, that's the thing. Last year, it feels like the defense being as bad as it was wasted a lethal offense. And I realize they got to the playoffs and the offense wasn't good, but I've said this before. If they had a competent defense last year, they're the number one seed and they're not playing in that game against Baltimore. That's how good their offense was. So I feel like last year's defense totally wasted an opportunity for this team to compete for a Super Bowl. And now this year, your defense has totally turned things around. You said it. They had 19 sacks last year. They are now the best pass rush in the league. And, we'll see if that continues into next year or not. But they were the best pass rush in the league by the time the season ended. And their offense has totally squandered yet another opportunity to the point where now you look at this team moving forward and think to yourself, did you just totally screw up your window? Because I think there's a good chance that they probably did.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be a good team next year. Then we'll get into all that too. There's some really tough choices. There's some important names on this team that can't be here next year. Don't know which ones won't be, but I've got some ideas on who should be. I mean, there's some tough choices. They're still going to be, I think, a good team. You have to have a great draft. If they have a great draft, and
it's a big if,
yeah, it is. It's two straight tough ones. I mean, they're still reaping the benefits of the 2019 draft all over the place. But they're still going to be a good team next year. I think they're right there to win the AFC South. I think they're probably the favorite to win the AFC South. I mean, again, we'll see. We'll see what the Colts do. I mean, the Colts and Titans both could try to throw a Hail Mary and get a different quarterback in. And it's actually much more painless for the Colts to do. The Colts are, yep. It's much more feasible for them to move on from Wentz. Now, maybe that's the answer.
Get Carson in here?
Yeah, how about swap Wentz and Tannehill?
Yeah.
But they're going to be good. But are they going to be, again, we watched that game last night.
I know.
Watch that game last night. Watch your team play Saturday. How are you feeling about really making a run?
It's quarterback league, man.
It happens here and there. Now, it's not like it never happens in this era, because Peyton Manning was absolutely a shell of himself game manager with a generational defense.
Well, I mean, Jimmy G's gone to a Super Bowl, and he could go to another one. And he's not that good.
So it's not impossible, but that's, to me, is the bigger question. Once it becomes clear that they can't do anything at quarterback, what can you do? What else can you do around it? You got to hope Caleb Farley becomes a star next year. I mean, it's stuff like that. Like, there's some of it is just purely hope.
Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. You can save 75% off at Nashville Armory, the Bing Bag Coffee and Tea Shop, and Seafood Sensation. There's also $150 gift cards for $100 for Woodhouse Spa Nashville or Downtown Dollars and half off a $30 gift card for Brooklyn Bowl. You can check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Would you look at this entire season and say that your performance fell off this season from the past two? Just your individual performance?
We'll go back and look at everything. There's a lot of things where I think I can grow from. I learned from throughout this year that happened. Felt like we overcame a lot, but when you go home in this sort of fashion, leaves a lot to be desired.
That was Ryan Tannehill after the game on Saturday with a phenomenal question by Joe Rexrow there. Well done. That's good stuff.
Brilliant.
Talking about his season as a whole. You brought this up earlier, and I think it's a good point. There is a time, especially at quarterback, where I feel like you got to take some responsibility. And I'm not saying that Tannehill has never done that, because he has. But Saturday was a pretty good opportunity for me to be like, you know what? Hey, guys, this one's on me. Even if deep down you don't even really feel that way, sometimes it's, yeah, hey, guys, this one was on me.
But how could you not feel that way?
I don't know how you couldn't, but I'm just saying, they would have been nice to see him be like, yeah, I did not play good enough to win, and I was not good enough.
And look, maybe that happened behind the scenes, because some people just aren't, some people don't want to give the red meat to the media.
Sure.
But again, if that's how you feel, Mike Vrabel sometimes, questioning life choices, remember that you're not just talking to some jerks you don't like in a media room, you're talking to the fans. And that's where I think Tannehill, should have taken some land. I mean, Byard is talking about, he's beating him. I'm sure he's beating himself up and all this stuff, right? I mean, like you would expect. I mean, yeah, everybody thinks that, right? Yeah. Because how could you not be? But he didn't. He didn't there. I thought that was absolutely the moment to take the blame. Does it change anything about the situation, about the performance, about the future? No, but that was the time to do it.
Yeah.
I think some fans would have liked to have heard that.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Indy Ben texting in says, last night's classic showdown in Kansas City was the real showing of the AFC's best. You wonder why those DVOA analytics show the Titans as the worst number one seed in quite some time. It's because nobody outside of Nashville believes in your quarterback. Titans are in the same situation as the Colts are currently in with Wentz. One big difference is Indy can get out of Wentz being their QB if they choose to, whereas the Titans will have much more difficulty in doing so. Indy Ben,
well,
back on the text line.
Indy Ben's feeling a little better now.
Feeling a little better.
Everybody,
he's had some time to mourn that loss.
Well, now he's got the Titans loss to, he can throw it back. But one thing, Indy Ben, like the analytics are not because someone doesn't believe in a quarterback. The analytics are numbers.
Right.
So, look, the problem with the whole analytical thing with the Titans this year is that like there were weeks where they were like a triple-A team on the field, But regardless, hey, you know what? All that stuff now, all that Tannehill stunk, I told you were the worst number one seed, I told you, the AFC championship game was in Kansas City, I told you, it's all on the table now. If you're the Titans and you blew it to this extent, you get to hear all that. Absorb it.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, we ask what happened to Tannehill from last year to this year. The answer is Todd Downer. Yes, I meant Todd Downer. So playing a little wordplay on games there. New OC, it doesn't happen to all quarterbacks. Some quarterbacks are unaffected by change with the OC, but we also saw it with Mariota. It seemed like he had a new OC every other year, or a new head coach, and obviously Todd Downer had an impact on Tannehill. This is coming from Benjamin in Murfreesboro.
See, I think that's true to some extent. I don't see how we could look at everything and say there's no negative impact. Again, it's also losing Arthur Smith, great OC, now a head coach, seemed to have a really great connection with Tannehill and just have a feel for putting him in position to be successful. That's what a coach does. But I also wouldn't overstate it, you know. I mean, there's just some throws and decisions that, like, I don't care who your OC is, you can't make. You're on the field, you can't do it.
Basically all three of them on Saturday. Can't do it. Again, I agree with you. I didn't like the call, the little out to Chester Rogers on the second pick. But again, the guy's standing right there when you throw the ball. You can't do it. I mean, you can't throw those balls. And Ty Downing was not good on Saturday. To me, he is significantly down the list from Ryan Tannehill on Saturday. Significantly. I don't think it's really in the same ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes – well, and that's just because – I mean, look, when it comes down to it, coaches – I mean, there's still limitations, right, to what their impact can be. I mean, it's – you know, like the first pick, it's a weird play because there was no one on that other side of the field to take Jesse Bates away from just running over to Julio Jones. But if Tannehill doesn't make it obvious he's throwing to him from the very start, then maybe he still doesn't get there in time.
Let's go back to the text line. Got a text, or this is Matt from Paris, says, since we're blaming coaches and players for the loss, I want to point a finger at the guy playing the music. I love some Guns N' Roses, but who plays Welcome to the Jungle when the Titans are losing to the Bengals, who happen to nickname their stadium the Jungle? That's coming from Matt from Paris on the text line. Did not like the choice of song in Nissan Stadium.
And right now, everybody, here come Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle! I didn't notice that at all.
Oh, man.
I just wanted to do that one more time this season.
Oh, we'll do it more than once moving forward. I got a text that says, I was nervous going into the game because of Tannehill, and on the first play, he throws a pick. I knew right then we were going to struggle. We've got to get rid of Tannehill. Again, we'll do the conversation on the future a little bit later this week, but I will say I was over at the house watching the game, and my dad can sometimes be a little dramatic watching sports, and Tannehill threw that interception. He immediately got up, went downstairs to get more food. He said, it's over. It's done. It's over. And, well,
I'm not going to – great. Hey, look, I'm not – as soon as he did that, in my mind, I was like, they're going to lose.
Yeah. I mean, it's
– Michelle says the same thing.
Those turnovers, I tell you what, when he had – I will say this about Tannehill. When he had a bad game this year, he had a bad game. They came in bunches.
Yeah, you're talking minus now – okay, so – that was it. Oh, that's right. They got one.
Yep.
Monty Hooker, by the way.
So they're minus two.
What a play. Yeah. So for the season, they lose six games, and they're a minus 18 in those games.
Yeah.
That's, ooh, boy. It's so weird because in all the other games, they were like plus 13. For the most part, they weren't a big turnover team except huge numbers in a select few games. It's weird.
Josh texting in says, the Colts also have an advantage with a couple of extra weeks to think about it than playoff teams. Get out of here, Indy Ben. This is a playoff discussion. This is coming from Josh.
I mean, it's only fair. It's only fair, Indy Ben.
Oh,
you're not wrong about the Wentz-Tannehill thing, though. It's much easier for the Colts to figure that out than it will be for the Titans, if they want to figure it out.
Alex from Montreal texting in says, until the Titans get an elite quarterback, they will never win the big game. Tannehill is not that guy and never will be. This coming from Alex on the text line. You know, I think it's –
they've won big games.
They have won big games.
With him as quarterback.
Look, Tannehill was awful on Saturday. There's no way around it. And, look, I think the discussion on what the Titans should do at quarterback this offseason is a valid one, and I think it's a discussion we're going to have here on the show. I also recognize that he still has largely been pretty good for the Titans and that there are worse spots to be in. I know nobody wants to hear that right now, but there are worse places you could be than Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback. So I think it's important to acknowledge that as you move forward here. The discussion has just changed with this team, though. Like, it's, we knew this heading into the season. We talked about it. What constitutes a success for this group? And you and I both said last week, if you lose to the Bengals in the divisional round, the season's a failure. And I don't think there's any way around it. This season... and this is not just a you and me thing saying this. This is a Titans actions and what they've done saying this as well. They got Julio Jones. They've done all these things to make this a go-for-it year. You lose in the divisional round. To me, it's a failure. And I'm not really willing to listen to anybody else say any differently on that stuff. It's a failure of a season.
Yeah, I mean, would anyone? I know at some point And, you know, obviously the spin would be, hey, won the division, second year in a row, number one seed. I don't see how anybody could argue otherwise. It's absolutely a failure.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Andrew texting in says, do you guys feel worse after this weekend's Titans loss or the Preds President's Trophy season and bow out?
I've seen that comparison since Saturday. Yeah, the difference with that one is that it just worked out that arguably what we thought were the best two teams played in the second round. That's how the playoff is designed. So that felt like, I mean, you know, the winner here probably gonna win it all. And by the way, I thought absolutely Winnipeg was going to go win it all. They didn't. They lost to Vegas. But so that's the difference, is that, hey, look, and we haven't talked about this, but like there were some quotes after the game to the effect of, yes, you're stunned, it's a terrible loss, but also they expected to win. Now, do you want a team not to expect to win? No. And I'm not saying that took the Bengals lightly, but they expected to win.
Yep.
And the Bengals, heck of a story. They're ahead of schedule. They were terrible. They were still a bad team last year. They did beat the Titans, but they were a bad team. It's their second year with Joe Burrow. Like, they shouldn't be ready to be doing this stuff yet. So to me, it's this is much worse. I mean, this is much, much worse. You know, the Preds, heartbreaking. You get to game seven and Pecorino has that game and all that stuff. But this, I mean, I guess you could, there is a comparison a little bit with quarterback goalie, backup goalies, most popular guy, not with the Preds, but you know what I mean? It's quarterback and goalie, the most important positions, and Pecorino had a rough, got pulled from that game seven. So I guess from that perspective, it's comparable, but I think this is much worse.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including, did the Titans make a mistake stylistically with the way they approached this game? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What did Derek do today versus what you
did? I think he came out okay. I meant there was some, you know, probably some runs he'd like to have back and a lot of, you know, blocking that could be better, but you know, we did get into a flow, I thought, of running the football, and then they loaded up, and they did a good job. They, you know, had some guys that were in there grinding away on the run, and you know, we know how hard it is to run against, you know, some of those D linemen that they have.
That was Mike Vrabel after the game on Saturday discussing the Titans' running game and their effectiveness against Cincinnati. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, what did you think of the Titans' rushing attack on Saturday? And we've got probably 10 text messages on our text line saying the Titans should have used Foreman a little bit more than they did in that game. He did have 4 carries for 66 yards, including a 45-yarder in there. What did you think of Derrick Henry and the way that he looked? And do you buy that maybe the Titans should have used Foreman a little bit more in that game?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's hard because he had a great run. So he had 4 for 66. So he had a 45-yarder. He had three for 20. I mean, he looked good in his carries. I thought Derrick Henry had some good moments. He didn't ever break when he had a couple where it was one guy.
Yep.
His longest run was 9 yards. I mean, is it like is the defense different if you have Foreman in versus Henry? You know, does that help you? I don't know. I mean, ultimately, I think it was more about the play calls, the plan, the design, whatever, than it was about, you know, like using Henry or not, or using Foreman instead of Henry. I thought Henry, I mean, again, all things considered, I thought he looked pretty good. There were some moments where he just looked a little bit tentative, but also, you know, maybe not quite as sharp cutting as you're used to seeing on some plays, but I thought he looked, you know, pretty fast and everything. I don't know. I that's an easy one to call out because Foreman had the one big run. I think ultimately, end of the day, I'm still going with 22 over 7 if I have the choice, and 22 is available.
Well, no, I would agree with that. And you know, we've talked about this. I think Foreman certainly has played well enough to where I would hope he'll have a job in the league next year.
Yeah.
Like, if you're the Titans, are you interested in bringing him back? Would be my question, to be the number two.
Maybe. I mean, it's maybe. It's possible. It's, you know, there's so many tough choices. You know, what's the market for him? Like, how? I mean, he may have really helped himself out there. And if that's the case, I mean, to me, you know, it's, you know, Dontrell Hilliard also could actually be a pretty good two. You also still have Darrington Evans, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been nothing but hurt, but you invested a third-round pick in him, and it's, to me, like, next year is last chance. But, I mean, I think you're going to give him that chance. I have no idea how it's going to work out. I understand anyone not being optimistic at this point.
Jeff on the text line says, the Titans machine is simply unable to keep all four tires pumped at the same time. There's always a flat tire somewhere that they're unable to overcome. If it's not grub worms, it's June bugs with this team. Every single year, speaking for myself, the disappointment has gotten really old. That's coming from Jeff on the text line. This is a beaten down Titans fan base today. I don't think there's any question about it.
Well, can't blame them. And again, I think that it bears repeating. And Taylor Lewan, unprompted, he wasn't asked about this, but in the tunnel, you know, after the game outside the locker room, I mean, he's like, I mean, that's the best I've ever seen it, you know, and he just wanted to, he, all week he was imploring Titans fans to show up. They did. He thanked them afterward, and he was right. And Titans fans, again, I think all year responded to this team. They bought in, and they should have. I mean, you're talking about a winning team that went to the AFC title game 2 years ago, won the division last year, had a lot going for it, loaded up for a big run. And, you know, now the heartache's going to be pretty tough for that fan base. And I get it. Like, you question the decision to get so invested emotionally. But also, this is what's great about sports, folks.
Yeah. Raleigh on the text line texting in says, Tannehill's decision-making definitely cost the Titans the game, no doubt. But the first play call, the first and goal call after just running 60-plus yards on four plays, and the two third-and-one play calls are on Downing. And the one time they attacked the edge with Henry was a 10-yard gain. Everybody on the planet knew the first play was one of two calls, and two third-and-ones were just as predictable. And what's going on with the going-for-two call from Vrabel? That one's on him. It's coming from Raleigh in Antioch.
I will argue on the third-and-one. You know, the read option little play that they sprinkle those in. And Vrabel said this after the game, and he was right. They've had success with it. They've had a lot of success with that. Typically, they have success because the end crashes, and Tannehill has a lot of room. And so I don't hate that call. I don't hate that play call.
He made the wrong decision.
You
got
to give the ball to Henry. You got to read it. That's what it is. It's a read option. You read it. Henry had the first down. He kept it, got stacked up, and then the fourth down call. It's just one of those things where you're looking at it before the snap, and it's like, do the Bengals have 13 guys at the line of scrimmage? Because it looks that way. I know that the response that could be, well, we've gotten a yard against that before, but it was slow developing and doomed. From the snap.
Let's go back to the text line. Got a text that says, Tannehill was made to look good based on his offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith. The only shot to fix this is to get a better OC that puts him in better situations with fewer decisions to make. And, again, I hear that, and I don't think there's any – I mean, to me, there's no doubt at this point. Arthur Smith was obviously a pretty huge deal when it comes to Ryan Tannehill and the way that he played. But that to me, still doesn't explain some of the interceptions we've saw this year. Like, he's just not seeing guys, or he's either not seeing them, or he sees them and he doesn't care and he's throwing it anyway. Like, those are the situations that we saw again on Saturday. I mean, that first play, he threw in a triple coverage with Julio Jones. I mean, the play to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, you got Anthony Firkser wide open right in front of you on a check down, and you force the ball to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina that gets bad in the air and picked off. Like, I hear the offensive coordinator part of this, and I certainly think it's a factor. But to me, the biggest factor is the decisions from Tannehill have been awful. And that was not the case, at least to me, that was not the case very often the last 2 years. And it's been the case far too often this year.
Yeah. I guess I think Titans fans will be most upset if there's nothing done at either of those spots, at quarterback or OC. OC is obviously a much easier change to make.
Yes.
Do they think in the building that it's warranted? Again, a year ago, I think a lot of people probably wanted Bowen fired, but at least, okay, fine. Shane Bowen, you didn't name him, so you don't have to fire him or demote him. He's still, you know, he did the thing this year. He's OLB coach. Now go get one of those big-time D coordinators. And, hey, early this year, like with the Cowboys, Dan Quinn was like, see, you go get one of those former head coaches who now, you know, looking for a job, want to be a coordinator. That can be really good. Well, Vrabel stuck with his guy, and it worked out really well. Is this the same thing? Here's one difference between Vrabel and Bowen and Vrabel and Downey. Vrabel and Bowen have been together for 10 years.
Exactly.
Since Bowen was his grad at Ohio State. And Vrabel was a first-year assistant, D-line coach at Ohio State. You know, Downing is a pretty new ad a couple years ago as tight ends coach when they had promoted Arthur Smith. It's not the same level of, you know, of relationship or at least, you know, time together and all that stuff. So would there be renewed hope in Ryan Tannehill if the Titans fired Todd Downing and went and got like Tim Kelly or something like that?
I don't think so.
Not much?
No, I mean, I think at this point, and I read your column after the game, which is very well done, by the way. I think you put it best where I think with Tannehill, especially come playoff time, I think you've reached, yeah, I believe it when I see it mode with Ryan Tannehill at this point.
Right.
That's where I am. And I was not really there before this game. And this game, I said it to start the show. This game has pretty completely changed the way I view Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, he could go out next year and have a really good season. It's still, to me, going to come down to playoff time. What do you do?
Yeah. Well, right. Now, I guess, hey, they could be incredible next year. Maybe there's a new OC. Maybe he's super, and then there's this renewed, like, oh, okay, he's figured it out. But I still think it's that. I still think you come down to those moments, and it's like, okay, show me, because this year, like, okay, the Texans game, you know, Dez Fitzpatrick is out there and it's a sloppy day and you're, you know, it's all kinds of stuff. Or he's under siege and he's getting sacked left and right. Again, he has this extra time with Julio Jones. A.J. Brown's good. Henry's back. The offensive line is playing well. Like, there's no, other than Todd Downing, if you want to go there and blame him, but there's just no other factor other than you just stare down in like, you cannot give the other team the ball. You're better than that team. You can't give them the game. And right away on the first play, you set the tone for the whole thing.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rex Road's Rant of the Week coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Can you take me higher?
Oh, yeah. Nothing can cure the sorrows of Titans fans like the beautiful soundtrack of Creed bringing us back in here today on the program just in time for the Rex Rant. Shout out to Nashville resident Scott Stapp. We love you. You're on the program.
It's like next year there'll be a Sunday afternoon in Nashville. It's like, Dad, do I go to the Titans game? Do I go see Creed at some dive bar in Nashville? I don't know. It's one or the other.
Joe Rex Road.
If they can still get gigs.
Your rant of the week. I'm sure they can.
Look, definitely
you underestimate.
Can.
Yeah.
The Preds.
Could be
know,
a
the
nice.
Preds, the Preds give them gigs.
Titans Texans halftime show next year, maybe. Who knows?
There we go. All right, look. I'm going to call this a Rex Pat. Okay.
Okay.
This is not a Rex rant. All we're doing today, we're ranting about the Titans. This is a full rant day after an absolute crushing loss like that to end the season. We're ranting about the Titans, how they blew the game. They deserve it. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to pat the collective Titans fan base on the head. I'm not trying to be arrogant or anything. I'm trying to say something that you may not want to hear, but you're going to hear it, okay? It could be worse. I want you to hear me. It could be worse. You could be fans of a franchise that has won one playoff game since 1957, who drafted a quarterback 13 years ago, a great quarterback, Watch that quarterback win so many games in the fourth quarter for you, get to the playoffs three times but never won one because he played great and Drew Brees was better, or he played great, one of the worst calls in recent NFL history, gave the opponent the game. Now you watch that guy with a competent organization. Here he is, two playoff wins, likely Super Bowl on the way. A franchise that has squandered two of the greatest players at their position, screwed basically everything up, and has never been to a Super Bowl. You can be fans of a franchise that isn't even the real franchise in your given town. Wear the same uniforms. It's not actually that franchise. But that franchise, or the team with the same uniforms, has been a victim to so many things, including the drive, the Ernest Biner fumble, the Brian Sipe pick in the end zone when there was no reason to throw into the freaking end zone. A franchise that has never been to a Super Bowl. You could be living in a town right now that is reveling in your heartache because your team left that town, and because that's all they have right now is your misery. Because
that's right.
Their franchise traded away the best receiver in the game for a jugs machine and alienated the star quarterback before he was hit with countless sexual assault allegations and hired a coach to fire him after a year, and now wants to make a questionable coaching hire but's hoping someone else interviews that coach so they don't look stupid for hiring the coach. Those fans, unlike the fans of Nashville, have never experienced a Super Bowl.
Do have a great quarterback that's rising above the competition. Continue.
Yes, that's true. Or you could be the Jags.
Fumbling
around, groping for answers, and having never been to a Super Bowl.
One, two, three, grind!
With a press box with cockroaches. I know that you don't want to hear these things today, but I feel like it's just maybe it'll help someone out there feel a little bit better for a minute that it could be worse. Thank you.
So that's what we're taking away from the show today. It could be worse.
Titans fans, don't worry.
That's the theme of the show.
It could be worse.
That's right.
Oh, I like it. It is amazing, the turmoil from some of these teams. It's, you know, it's tough to be a Lions fan, I think, at all times. But watching Matthew Stafford do what he's done so far in the playoffs, you got to be sitting there thinking to yourself, my God, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
He just immediately leaves and probably is going to the Super Bowl.
Well, and look, I mean, right now, you know, Indy Ben's in there. Indy Ben's talking a little smack, and I'm sure, you know, it was tough for him last week. But, like, I haven't heard anything from Texans or Jags fans. Normally, they'd be, like, cackling loudly.
Yeah, where's Todd?
Like, what could they possibly – yeah. I mean, what could they possibly say? I mean, you know, it's – look, I don't know where this is going, but I will say that it's like what we were talking about when things were going well and this team was winning the division and get the one seed. Like, you start at the top with these things, okay? And Amy Adams Strunk to John Robinson down should make you feel good about trying to find an answer. Now, maybe there aren't answers. And look, I understand that John Robinson's drafts and the second-round pick for Julio Jones, all that stuff, Clowney, Beasley, there's been some bad moves recently. But – like, I saw some of this the other day, too, which is like, no, this is all on John Robinson. And I had to say, I'm like, did you watch the game? Have you watched the team? Because, like, there's a – like, the reason they were in position to blow the game is so many moves. Like, Jeffrey Simmons was a pretty good pick in 19. David Long was a pretty good pick in 19. A.J. Brown, you know, on and on and on. Like, they have a really good team. They've built this. They've got a certain level of expectation and consistency and success right now. Look, the cycle down happens in this league. The league is built for that. It's built for cycles up and cycles down. So that's probably coming. But if you have to suffer through like a division winning season next year and then really worry that your team's going to screw it up in the playoffs, that stinks. But it could be way worse.
It could be. And I think the expectation point is it's really the difference now, right? I mean, you know, a couple years ago, you're just happy to be there. If you're the Titans, you know what it was like to go 5-24 or whatever the record was under Ken Wisenhunt / the early part of Mike Mularkey.
Yeah, 27. Yeah, you shorted them three.
5-27. Excuse me. I guess my math would have been helpful there. 16 plus 16 is 32. So 5-27. But now, I mean, this happens. It happened with the Predators. It happens in every sport. Eventually, if you have a certain amount of success long enough, the expectations get raised. And the disappointments are far greater when you don't win in the playoffs. That's where the Titans are. They're in a good spot to be in. Your expectations as a fan base this year were to compete for a Super Bowl. And I don't think it was just the expectations of the fan base. I think the players believed they were a Super Bowl caliber team. I think the front office believed they were a Super Bowl caliber team. I think Amy Adams Strunk believed that they were a Super Bowl caliber team this year. that's what, to me, makes a lot of the decisions this offseason very interesting because, you know, we talked about the Todd Downing angle of this and how last year Shane Bowen, he was under a lot of heat from Titans fans. Vrabel stuck with him. He was his guy. And we saw the results this year. Can that happen with Todd Downing? Sure. Maybe it does. I do wonder, though, organizationally, when you watch it go down the way that it did on Saturday, knowing that your expectations were to win a Super Bowl this year, how much more likely does that make you to change things maybe when you otherwise wouldn't? I think that's absolutely on the table this offseason.
I agree. Now I feel dirty. I want to get right back to ripping the Titans. So let's put that all away.
Okay.
But it's a great point. And the thing is, if the Titans go status quo here and it's Tannehill at quarterback, I think you have to look at things. You have to see what could be out there. You have to find a team that has a good quarterback that also is bad. who's trading for Tannehill right now? You can give first round picks, but again,
it's important to bring that up though, because the idea of them just cutting Tannehill, I think, is asinine. It's a $57 million dead cap hit. You can't do that. So it's either a trade or he's your quarterback.
Right. So that's probably going to happen. He's probably going to be back. But status quo, if you come back with him and with Todd Downing, I think it'll, the Preds, again, the comparisons come up on some things. Remember last year, the trading deadline. Not a perfect comparison, but it was sort of like, it felt like, so the Preds feel like if they have a chance to sneak into the playoffs, that's worth more than really trying to change things up. Now, granted, by the way, the Preds have worked out pretty well for them since then. But I didn't like that decision, and I think that's exactly what it said. It was like, well, we're okay being okay. And if the Titans come back, I think that's what they're saying to fans. They may be saying, no, we believe that we actually have this team that can do it. We think we can still do it. A few fixes here and there, we can make another run. But I think it will be taken so you guys are okay, make the playoffs and it's fine. It's better than being bad. I think Titans fans, understandably, the majority, want something more significant than that done.
Todd from Jacksonville tweeting in said, if you guys want me to call in, all you got to do is ask. It's coming from Todd from Jacksonville. Todd, we appreciate you.
Todd.
It's amazing to me that the beginning of this season, we were talking about, Ryan Tannehill not being on top 10 quarterback lists and all these things.
Yeah.
And now, let's just call it what it is. There's going to be a lot of discussion from Titans fans this offseason of, all right, what can we do to move on from Ryan Tannehill? That's going to be a large part of the discussion this offseason.
Absolutely. And again, I get it. I guess it really comes down to, do you believe that you still have a go-for-it team? You have some great pieces. You got some holes to fill, too. But do you believe that you're a quarterback away from last night's game, from being in a game like that and winning it? Now, you don't want to be in a game like that because you think your defense is going to be better. But guess what? The Bills had the number one defense in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. So everybody says, hey, we want an elite quarterback. You got to have an elite quarterback. Okay. And how are you getting one?
Right.
You can go total dog water and draft one at the top of the draft, and then your percentage chance of that working out is what?
It's not great.
7?
You can draft Baker Mayfield instead of Josh Allen. How's that going so far?
Right. Well, you can move up, get Mitch Trubisky, and then leave Patrick Mahomes for the Chiefs to grab. Yeah. The Chiefs were in a very similar situation, by the way.
They were.
The Titans are now. They had a good quarterback. They didn't feel like he could get it done. They saw him lose at home to the Titans in the playoffs.
Yep.
With an offense after they had a huge lead that just couldn't hold on, couldn't do anything in the second half. Well, they already had that rookie on the roster, though, and then he took over the next year.
Right.
It's just that's such an outlier of a situation. And I also think that the Rams situation, which is going to be brought up a lot this week, is an outlier too. But it's worth a look.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the collapse of the Titans on Saturday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.